Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, it's not what we say Jesus is. It's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And it's so much, you know, it's easier these days to say a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? But it's the fruit and the action that really says it all. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus asks a really important question. I mean, Jesus is asking a question. Mm-hmm. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Mm. I mean, that's startling. If Jesus is going to ask you a question, you know what I'm saying? I don't want it to be that one.
Yeah, not that one.
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, but you don't do what I say? And you can imagine, I mean, Jesus was talking to crowds all the time. I mean, people followed Jesus everywhere. They came from, I mean, long distances. They would travel for hours just to be in earshot of him. He was extremely popular. And we don't have to look past one particular account to really imagine what was it like when he shared, when he fed the 5,000. Remember that, when he fed the 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Those were 5,000 men that were gathered.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 besides women and children.
Right.
Wrap your mind around that. He healed them. He prayed for them. And you could imagine him. Some guy standing up, I said, I'm not leaving until he touches me. I'm going to stay in this line.
Yeah.
There's 5,000 men, not including women and children. He had compassion on them. He prayed for them, healed them. Then the disciples said, you guys got to feed these guys here. This is, you know, they're a long way from home.
Yeah.
They traveled out here logistically. And so Jesus, you know, was familiar with crowds. There's a lot of people crowding and coming around the Lord. And think about it. There's still large crowds today surrounding the Lord,
mm-hmm,
that appear to be going after Jesus. And the truth is that you can fool some people some of the time. You may be able to fool yourself sometimes as well. But there's one person that you'll never be able to fool, and that is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an important question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And if it's true in the time of when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, if Jesus had to ask the question when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, believe me, I probably still think it's true for some today.
Yeah.
That there are those who call Jesus Lord, and they say they're Christians, but they don't obey God's word. And I believe one of the reasons this is happening is because there has been a no lordship gospel being preached. And it basically says that, hey, listen, just accept Jesus into your heart. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loves you. Just accept him as your savior. And, you know, essentially, you know, that's all you got to do. I'm not really saying in all those particular words, but
mm-hmm,
don't worry about living for him or reading his word or obeying what he says, because all you have to do is just believe.
Right.
Think about that. Let me tell you, we need to preach the full gospel, the full message, that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He is one. He is Savior and Lord. And listen, if you're not ready to accept him as Lord, then let me tell you, then you're not ready to accept him as Savior. You know what I'm saying? They're one and the same. It's like someone, it's like, you know, if you're not ready to be committed to only one person when you marry, and you want to be with others too, you're not ready to be married.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're not ready to be married. What woman wants to be with a husband like that? And what husband wants to be with a woman like that, a wife like that?
Mm-hmm.
They call that thing, they call that an open relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you wouldn't settle for, if they wouldn't settle for that type of relationship, why do others attempt to have an open relationship with the Lord. You know, I'll take the blessings. I'll take the salvation. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Definitely don't want to go to hell. Definitely don't want, no, don't want that. You know what I'm saying? Do want you to get me out of my troubles. Love that. Love the healing. That's all cool.
All right.
But this Lord stuff, this eat my flesh, drink your blood stuff, this is where I'm having the dilemma. And let me tell you something. It's like we gotta preach all the letters in red. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And Jesus comes to take over. He's not an addition. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, Jesus said you can't have two masters. You can only serve one and despise the other. We share this often, but only 81% of believers, according to George Barna, this is staggering. 81% of Christians actually read the Word of God, and only 3% feel that they're responsible for their own spiritual development.
Right.
Contrast that to what Jesus says, that you should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not to mention that in Matthew 7, where it says that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell them plainly. I call that speaking English. I will talk to them plainly.
Right.
I never knew you. Away from me. This is Jesus. I encourage you to read the Word of God slowly.
Yeah.
You can burn through, you know, just read through. No, this is not a speed reading exercise.
It's not a textbook.
No. If you have to, put your index finger on each word. You know, I used to read real fast. I had to slow myself down years ago and putting my finger on each word to really think about what's being said here. Away from me. You evildoers. A little extra there.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
This is Jesus says. And we're seeing a pattern here that people don't have a problem saying, Lord, Lord. But let me tell you, God's not interested in what you're saying about his lordship. He's interested about what you're doing, the fruit in your life that shows that he is the Lord. And it's very simple. Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I'm going to say that again for you.
Do that again.
Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Wow.
The question is how is your walk?
Mm.
God is not interested in your talking. He's interested in your walking. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not about talking our way into God. This is about having a fruitful relationship. And Jesus, he just asked the question. This is important. He asked the question. Why do you say to me? Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, it's not what we say who Jesus is, but it's what's happening in, you know, it's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And, you know, Jesus asked a question. He said, man, you know, why do you call me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? And it's so important because your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And God's not interested in what we're talking. He's interested in how we're walking, right?
That's right.
And the question is, why do we do this? You know, why do you do this? And this is a question really based out of love. If you understand God's heart, he's asking in our heart. He wants us to think about this. He wants us to examine ourselves. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test.
Mm.
I mean, this is the Apostle Paul talking. It's like, you know, He spoke English too. You know, he spoke English. He just put it out there plain. We got to examine ourselves.
I think he spoke Greek.
Yeah, Greek, Hebrew,
Arabic.
Actually, Hebrew, but
you're right, Arabic.
But examine yourself. Examine yourself. Now, I'd rather examine myself on this side of eternity than, you know what I'm saying? On the other side, it's going to be a little too late. I don't want to do that examination. But I want to do it on this side. And it's important to evaluate our walk. Is our walk matching our talk? With everything that's happening in America, I mean, almost every day, every week, we're seeing prophetic fulfillment around the globe. Especially in America. And we're seeing the judgment of God. And we know that the answer for America, you know, is not for the world to get right. It's for the church to get right first, right?
That's right.
If we do four things, then God will do three things. He already told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, one, and pray, two, and seek my face, three, and turn from their wicked ways, four, then I, God, will what? Hear from heaven, one, will forgive their sin, two, and will heal their land, three. Mm. We got to begin to what? Humble ourselves, right? Stop trying to get God to bless what you want to do. God will bless what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to bless our plans. He's going to bless his plans. And instead of asking God to approve of what you want to do, ask God. Ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'll do it. The second thing is we pray. We have communion with God. We open the doors to fellowship. And when you pray, you're just simply communicating with God, which is a twofold experience, right?
Right.
Involves talking and listening, right? Prayer positions us to hear what God wants to say. And many have reduced prayer to a laundry list of things for God to do. And God, could you do them quickly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have failed to recognize the great privilege of communing with God. And then what that does, it allows us, it positions us to be able to seek God's face. I mean, God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. So we're talking about seek his face. What is it, seek his face? Well, you'll never seek after God if you don't communicate with him, right? So you got to pray. But seeking his face means that you seek him with pure motives, that you're not seeking his hand, his provision, or what you want him to do for you, but you're eagerly seeking out the Father's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. You know, Paul said, this was Paul's confession, okay? Paul's confession of Romans 1:1. He says, I am a devoted slave of Christ. I'm a bondservant. Peter said the same thing in 2 Peter 1:1. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. They opened their letter saying, let me introduce myself to you. I am the slave of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In case you didn't know,
right.
Let me make it plain. A devotion to, this is what a slave is. A devotion, what they're talking about, is a devotion to one, to another, without a regard of one's own interests. Listen to that. A devotion to another without a regard to one's own interests. When you encounter God, like we talked about yesterday, when you encounter Jesus, you just want to give yourself and say, listen, the life that I have, this little life, it belongs to you. It belongs to you.
Mm.
Why? Because God's will has become now your will. Because God's desires have become what? Your desires.
Right.
You've traded your dreams for guess what? His dreams. His dreams. In fact, his desires have become your dream. And we seek after his heart of love. And this is important. This is all good. All these first three are really nice, but it really has to end, right? This is where the walking gets walking, right? Is when we begin to turn, repent from wicked ways. This is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves the Holy Ghost party, right? Everyone loves the glory of God. But the glory of God don't come without, you gotta have repentance. And repentance is turning away from the sins. In fact, Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I mean, let this thing show up in your life, right?
Right.
And then what God's going to do? You know, when we get serious with God, what's going to happen? God's going to get serious with us. Mm-hmm. So he's asking the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do what I say? Listen, if we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then God, in response to our first action, God, in response to what we actually walked out, will respond back to us. And the first thing he says is, listen, I'm going to hear you. To have access to God, that he actually hears you, he hears your heart, he hears your prayer, he's going to hear us. Second thing he's going to do, he's going to forgive us. Let me say, the greatest need we have right now is for God to forgive us of the wickedness that we have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll have compassion, right? He'll forgive us and he'll heal our land. And our land needs so much healing. But you know what? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. So he says, I will show you. Jesus, let me make it plain for you again. He goes on to say in Luke 6, I will show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. Right? He talks about a house, and he makes this comparison about a house that's built on the right foundation and then a foolish foundation. When he talks about the house being built on the right foundation, he says this house has a foundation that when the storms come, when the torrents come, when the winds come to take it out, it stands in the end. But then there's, you know, a foolish builder, right, who builds on a house with no foundation. Let me go back and say this, that if you build your house on the right foundation, the spirit, your spiritual house, if you build the foundation on Jesus Christ, it's, listen, the storm reveals what your house made out of. Mm-hmm. But then there's a foolish builder, right? You have two options. It has, you know, he didn't build on a foundation. And the thing about it is that it has an outward appearance. People have an outward appearance that your spiritual house is in order. But in reality, it's all a facade. Your house has no foundation. It's built on weak, shifty sand. And when the storms come, when the torrent wind comes, your spiritual house collapses in on itself. So Jesus is making it clear, listen, don't call me Lord, Lord. Don't play church. Don't have religion. Don't hang around the cross, right? Get on the cross. Don't say, Lord, Lord, and you're not even following. You have no relationship with me. You're not putting my words into practice. You're talking, but you're not walking. You're merely fooling yourselves because there's a time coming. There's a wind that's coming. There's a storm that's coming to your life. And if you don't know me, just knowing about me, being familiar with me is not going to be enough. You got to build your house on the right foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving us a loving warning. We can't give God lip service because in the end, both these houses look alike. But what's going to happen to the house that's not built on the right foundation? And many today have settled for a form of godliness. It's a form, just a little bit of Jesus, just enough religion, just enough to blend with the crowd, and they have staked their eternal life on that. And then they keep building on it. They keep building and building, married, kids, careers, everything, religious stuff. But they didn't really truly encounter God, never lived totally surrendered to him. And in the end, when you realize that it was all for naught, it was all a waste. When the storm comes, you really find out what your house is really made out of. And how many homes have been destroyed, literally destroyed, and you're literally holding on to broken 2x4s and busted windows and doors. And it's a sad way for it all to end. And that's why we can take heed to what Jesus is saying. He's warning us. He's asking us the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I want to encourage you that if you call him Lord and you're doing what he says, then when the wind comes and you've made Jesus your foundation, you will stand and you will remain in Christ. You will remain in Christ. We have a choice today. We have a choice, church. We have a choice, church. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to build on a solid, true relationship with Jesus Christ on the rock? Or are we going to build on sand for sand and have a facade of a relationship? I want to tell you something. There's nothing like building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that matters, and he'll be faithful to the end.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.